Okay, good evening, everybody. Chodesh Tammuz Tov. Chodesh Tammuz Tov. Hope everybody's well. Welcome back to the From Friend Family Shir, hosted by Congregation Shir Tefillah. I hope that everyone is well. Of course, we are learning as always. Zeichron Lilui Nishmasa, Miriam Fron, Miriam Baschai Mitzak, Alal Sham. Neshama should continue, we hope, what is a continuous Aliyah Neshama, as well as a Zechira Latova, and the merit of the Divrei Torah that we share together. And any change that we implement in our lives, any avoda tova that we do, also serves as a zchus aliyah neshama from Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak Alal Sham. We continue to thank the Frum family very much for their really unwavering, amazing commitment to these divrei Torah lezeichah nishmas their mother Alal Sham. So where we are up to is we're still in the conscious of Rav Victor Miller, offering up your ego. And where we're holding in the sefer is that we have to make the ratzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam our ratzon, that a person should not have any desire. I shouldn't have a ratzon. I shouldn't have a will other than what Hashem wants me to do. I should always measure my actions by Hashem. Is this pleasing to you? Hashem, is this what you want me to do? Not what I want to do should be your will, but your will should be my will. That's what we're holding in the sefer. And we're in the middle of this piece by Rav Victor Miller, where we are exploring further the topic, the conscious is called offering up your ego. So it ties in exactly to what we are speaking about. In order to have the Anochi of the Ribbono Shel Olam present in our lives, the I of God, I am the Lord God who took you out of the Egypt from the land of slavery, we must slaughter our I. We must shecht our I. We must offer up our ego in order to make Hashem's will over us. So we are in the middle of speaking about opportunities in human relations. So I'm going to recap just from the conscious, and I'm going to start with new material that we have not yet covered. Okay. Now, once we understand this subject, so last time we did the Geras HaRamban, for everyone who remembers, or go back and listen online, last time we looked at the Geras HaRamban, the famous letter that the Ramban wrote to his son, where he talks about the Midah of Anivus, humility, because Anivus, humility, is a gateway to successful interpersonal relationships. And successful interpersonal relationships are really Avodas Hashem. All of my Ben Adam Mechaveh was really Ben Adam Atzmo as well. And the week before that, we spoke about Miriam's sin, where she spoke Lashon Hara to Aaron about Moshe, Vayish Moshe Anav Me'od Mikol Adam Rashal Pnei Adama. So we are understanding, we're learning about the idea of how we get along with people, because that really is about Hashem. What does Hashem want? He wants his children to get along. How apropos for Chodesh Tammuz, where we learn and we mourn for the Beis HaMikdash that was destroyed because of hatred between brothers. So I'm quoting from Rav Victor Miller. Now, once we understand the subject properly, we begin to see that human relations, the contact with people around us, that's our great opportunity to succeed and to create from ourselves a permanent honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in both Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. So if you want to create a permanent honor to Hashem in this world and in the next world, the way to do that is to succeed with the people around us. And that is not always so easy. Sometimes it's a very big struggle to succeed with the people around us, but that is creating a personal honor between us and Hashem. I'm going to say one time and try not to say it again. I'm not talking about abusive God-forbid relationships. I'm not talking about traumatic relationships. I'm not talking about any situations of pikuach nefesh literally or pikuach nefesh metaphysically, when a person must get out and you simply cannot make peace with that person because of the danger to life, whether it's metaphysical, emotional, psychological life, or physical life. So I'm not talking about any of that. We're talking about the normal struggles with normal interpersonal situations where we can be mevatra and we can look away. Okay, I'm going to try not to say that again. I think it's pretty clear. I try and stress that every class so that no one, God forbid, reaches out and said, I said that under all conditions, 100% of time, sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes when we're talking about a dangerous situation, there's no other choice but to walk away because to preserve your sanity, safety, or that of your children, etc. Okay, we're talking about Derech Klal. The silly things where you can look away, but your ego gets in the way. I think we all know what those are because I'm sure we've all experienced them. Our biggest opportunity in life is our dealing with human beings, says Rav Victor Miller. That's our success in this world. If we can get along with people by means of sacrificing our false personality, that's always telling us the Anochi is what matters, the I matters. That's when we become successful over the Hashem. You want to be a successful servant of God, you have to get rid of the Anochi that says, I am the most important. That guy's also important. Always in your dealings with your family, with your wife, your neighbors, in your dealings in the business world, with the community, in the base knesses, you must always be aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you must be humble to people. This is a man who is constantly bringing offerings, and he's considered as if he brought all the korbanos because of the offering of humility. Not only is it the most important of all, but it's always available to bring. So someone who has a lot of money could bring something more expensive. Someone who has less money could bring tangibly something less expensive. But the offering of humility, Rabbi Victor Miller says, it has nothing to do with your finances. Whoever you are, whatever your life situation, you can offer God the offering of anivas, humility. There are always opportunities for somebody to be zocha, without any expense, to live a life of bring offerings and honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether it's not answering back, swallowing your pride, making way for somebody else by means of, quote, shechting, slaughtering the ego that's always trying to trip you up. So you have to know, and I've told you this before many times, I always re-prepare. So it's not like when I teach shir, it's what I prepared last week that I didn't get to. I always re-prepare. And also Parshas HaShavua is always on my mind. So it just so happens to be that while I'm re-preparing, this week's Sedra in Chutz La'aretz is Korach. Korach is the quintessence of Machlokas and someone who could not shecht his own ego to get along with somebody else. Korach thought, I am the most important. I deserve to be Melech, like Moshe. I should be the Kohen Gadol, like Aaron. I should be the prince of the tribe of Levi, like my youngest cousin from the youngest uncle, Elzaphan Ben Uziel. And it was this ego, this mamish's ego, that prevented him from having successful interpersonal relationships. And what we see is not only that Korach destroyed the integrity of Klal Yisrael Kaviyachov, such a thing is possible. Not only did he attempt to destroy the kahuna, which he could not do, but he attempted, he destroyed his own self. So ultimately, the greatest victim of not being able to shecht your ego is yourself. You think you're causing fights between people who you are. You caused the fight in Klal Yisrael. You think you're causing rebellion. You think you're causing people. The worst casualty, the gravest and first and foremost casualty is a casualty called the Anochi. You were so busy stoking your Anochi of the ego that you forgot to take care of your very survival. Okay, so this, of course, brought me to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the very, very famous Mishnah that is about Korach. Okay. Kol machlokes, I'm in Perek Hei, Mishnah Chaf of Pirkei Avos. Kol machlokes shehi l'shem shemayim sofa l'hitkayim. Any machlokas that is for the purpose or the sake of heaven, in the end it will endure. V'she'ena l'shem shemayim, and a machlokas, quarrel or strife, that is not for the sake of heaven, ein sofa l'hitkayim. It will not endure. Ezehi machlokas l'hi l'shem shemayim. What is a machlokas that is for the sake of heaven? So a machlokas hilo v'shamay. This is the machlokas of hilo and shamay, the two great tanaim who mainly disagreed on almost everything. V'she'ena l'shem shemayim, and what is not for the sake of heaven? What's an example of a strife that is not for the sake of heaven? Zo mechokas korach v'chol adaso. Begins in Perek Tazai in chapter 16 of Bamidbar. The whole showdown is in chapter 16. They go down to the earth. The 250 men are swallowed up. In Perek Tazai, we have the staff of Aaron blossoming, and God has come. We have the manas kuhuna in this week's parasha to show that Aaron is really the one chosen. So clearly Korach did not stand a chance, but he was so motivated by kina taiva kavod, another Rabbi Elazar Kapar Omer, another mission on Pirkei Avos. Both of these define beautifully Korach. Sadly, they define Korach. Rabbi Elazar Kapar does not name Korach, but he says, jealousy, lust, and the quest for honor remove a person from this world. I mean, that was literally Korach. He was envious, he was lustful for the position or the life of somebody else, and he ran after honor. What happened to him? He was taken down. Motzinas Adam in Olam. So I'm going to quote from, I haven't quoted him for a long time, no reason, but I'm going to quote from Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, Yachal Yisrael, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita, the Yachal Yisrael, it's commentary to Pirkei Avos. So I went through, I'm not quoting the entire thing, but most of it actually is very beautiful and relevant. Remember, what we're learning is Ritzoneinu Laso Ritzoncha, our will is to do the will of God. What is the will of God? Well, there's a lot of things that are the will of God. Eating kosher is the will of God. Dressing tzanua, whatever your standard is the will of God. Sending your children to get a Jewish education, whatever, wherever you fall on the spectrum, is meaning modern Orthodox, sorry to use terms. Modern Orthodox, right-wing yeshivish, why you, right, Hasidish, wherever you fall, the will of God is that your children should have a Torah education. The will of God is that I should belong to a Beis Knesset. The will of God is that we should have Taras HaMishpacha. The will of God is that we should keep Shabbos. So there are many things that are Ratzon Hashem. One of the things of paramount importance to the Ribbono Shel Olam is that we should have Bein Adam Chaviro. That people need to learn to get along. And how do we get along? When we shecht our ego. The only way to get along, because if I'm right, you can also be right. So the only way to learn to truly get along with someone else, to cultivate that Bein Adam Chaviro, the interaction, successful interaction between man and fellow man, is by removing my I, and then I make room for somebody else. That too is Ratzon Hashem. So it's not just identifying all the parts of myself. Remember, we spoke about the salad, all the individual components without the dressing. It's not only that. It is also to learn, like Korach unfortunately did not know, that we constantly have opportunities for Bein Adam Mechaveru, and Bein Adam Mechaveru is part of Bein Adam Malkom and Ratzon Hashem. So now I quote from Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita. Dispute goes back to this is his commentary to this Mishnah. Dispute goes back to the very beginning of creation. The Torah does not characterize the second day of creation with God saw that it was good. But Vayar Elokim Ki Tov appears on all the other 5 days of creation. So why on the second day of creation did the Torah not say God saw it was good? What happened on the second day? The upper waters, which became Shemayim, Rekiah Shemayim, were separated from the lower waters, which became Mikveh Mayim. And no separation can be called good, because separation in some degree is related to dispute. So even though Hashem is creating everything, and we're talking about the forces of nature, we're talking about upper waters and lower waters, Rekiah Shemayim and Yamim, Mikveh Mayim, the Mikveh Mayim Kara Yamim, nevertheless, because there is Havdalah, God found it necessary to separate between two elements in order to make heaven and earth, or heaven and sea. And when we have Havdalah, we can't say it's good. We cannot say Ki Tov, Elokim Ki Tov, because Havdalah by definition indicates some sort of separation, and we can't say any sort of separation or divide is good. And now quoting Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, Rabbi Lau, if a division was instituted for the benefit of, so the Medrash says, what do we learn from here? If a division between the Rekiah Shemayim and the Mikveh Yamim, if a division that was instituted for the benefit of the world cannot be called good. It was for the benefit of the world. So we have beautiful Rekiah Shemayim and we have beautiful seas and oceans. That was created for the benefit of the world. If that cannot be called good, says Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Dalet Siman Vav, I didn't look it up, I'm quoting from Rabbi Lau, how much more so division such as dispute that is intended to unsettle the world can certainly not be called good. Striking a similar note, Rabbi Lau quotes the Rambam. The Rambam writes to his son, do not contaminate yourself with dispute. Dispute destroys body, soul, and money. Korach was whole and body. Korach was pikechaya. Rashi tells us he was a pikechaya. The Medrash tells us he was very smart. We know he was also rich. However, what did Korach destroy? His body, literally, his body went there. His soul, he went to Gehenna. And what did his money help him? So that's very nice if you're rich, but look what just happened to you. Leaving rack and ruin behind, says the Rambam to his son. I have seen white become black, nobles brought down, Rambam writes this, families torn apart, princes removed from their posts, cities thrown into chaos because of dispute. Therefore, says the Rambam to his son, my best advice to you is stay far away from dispute, flee from it. Okay, I'm going on. I'm continuing with Rav Yisrael Meir Lau. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, what is his commentary to this Mishnah? Any quarrel for the sake of heaven will endure, and any quarrel for the sake of heaven will not endure. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, commentary to the Mishnah's statement, any dispute not for the sake of heaven will not endure, means Rabbeinu Yonah actually takes it literally, which should be a frightening warning for anyone who is considering becoming embroiled in dispute. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, the Mishnah statement should be taken literally. Kama chloka she'enu l'shem shemayim, ein sof alei kayim is referring to the people involved in the mechokas. Kama chloka she'enu l'shem shemayim, kama. Any quarrel that is not for the sake of heaven, add in the words, the people involved in the quarrel, ein sof alei kayim, means that the disputants will not endure. Like, that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says, like Korach and his company, i.e. they will not live long. How do we know? Because the earth covered Korach and his company in this world, and they were destroyed from the midst of a congregation in the world to come, says the Gemara. What happened to Korach? He went down physically, and spiritually he was also lost. This is because of dispute, not for the sake of heaven. Listen to this. A machlokes she'eino l'shem shamayim, a dispute not for the sake of heaven results in every sin possible between man and man. Hatred, sinna, slander, lashon hara, and revenge, nakama, and Rav Lau is quoting from the Gemara, Maseches Sanhedrin. So when we talk about first of all Chodesh Tammuz and what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants of us to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, and second of all, when we talk about slaughtering our ego to do Ratzon Hashem, clearly, only if someone is able to be mevater, to begin someone else's success, to look away, to hold your tongue, to remind yourself of Rabbi B'Kesach Kron writes, Hashem, if this is a test, I'm going to pass and I'm going to get. Andre, I actually just thought of it today. A small thing happened. I'm not going to give any details. A small thing happened. And I was starting to feel like I wanted to say something. And then I remembered, Hashem, if this is a test, I'm going to pass. I'm going to get 100. And I did not say one single thing. Because a person has to be able to be mevater. Because that would not have been a dispute for the sake of heaven. It was just a silly thing. And I was able to overlook it. And it was nothing. And that's what we have to learn. In addition, Rav Avadya Mibartanura teaches, Rav Avadya Mibartanura, a classic commentator on the Mishnah, teaches this phrase indicates that participants in such a dispute will not attain their ends. So according to Rav Avadya Mibartanura, what does it mean, ein sof al etgayim? They're not going to get what they want anyway. Both of these happened to Korach. Rabbeinu Yonah says it means they won't live long. Korach went down. And what does Rashi say? Bo re'e kama kasha machlokas. What does Rashi say? Look how horrible machlokas is. Af yonke shadayim, even suckling babes were swept down when the earth opened. So ein sofalit kayim, says Rabbeinu Yonah, they won't live long. That's exactly what happened to Korach. The suckling babes from the families were swept down into the earth. Look at the power. Look at the poison of machlokas, says Rashi. Furthermore, says Rav Avadya Mibartanura, the phrase indicates the participants in such a dispute will not attain their end. That too applies to Korach. Did he attain his end? What's the answer? No, he didn't attain his end. What did he think? You think you're going to overthrow Moshe and Aaron? Moshe, whose staff turned to a snake, who saw God at the burning bush, not in that order, who was the catalyst for the Makos, who led the people to freedom, who stretched out his hand over the Reed Sea, who brought man from Shemayim, who led the battle against the Amalek. You're going to win against him? Who spent 40 days and 40 nights on top of Shemayim, on top of Har Sinai, not eating and not drinking? You're going to win. You're not going to attain your end, says Rav Avadya Mibartanura. You're not even going to attain your goal. That's what it means. Ein sof al etgayim. You're not even going to get what you're fighting for. If it's Ein L'Shem Shemayim. Rav Shmuel di Ozida, in his Medrash Shmuel, cites a different view. A dispute that is not for the sake of heaven stems from the participants' personal desires. And when the disputants die, they take their desires with them to the grave. Nothing of the dispute endures. Nothing remains. Don't think your dispute is so important. If it's only for own personal interest, nobody cares. Nobody's going to know. And when that person dies, they're going to go down and their claims are going to go down with them because there's no enduring value. Hillel Shammai's disputes, on the other hand, have very enduring value and they continue until today. Furthermore, says Rav Yisrael Meir, he pointed something interesting. Why would you want machlokas to endure? Call machlokas shi l'shem shayim sofal hiskayu. Maybe these Mishnah should just say machlokas will never be miskayim. Wouldn't that be nicer? Machlokas will never endure, period. And then you could say the machlokas of Hillel and Shammai were shem shayim, and machlokas of Korach and his Eidah were not l'shem shayim. But what does it mean? Call machlokas shi l'shem shayim sofal hiskayim. Why would you want that machlokas is going to endure? Any dispute for the sake of heaven will endure. Maybe the Mishnah should just say dispute will never endure, period. And Hillel and Shammai for the sake of heaven, and Korach and his Eidah were not for the sake of heaven. Why would we want a dispute to endure? A dispute for the sake of heaven, our sages tell us, will endure. But what sort of assurance is this? Do we really want to find a dispute that has no resolution? If you say, so Father, it means the machlokas itself will endure. That means the argument will endure. That's what you want to endure? Why? A variety of interpretations, it's such an interesting question, have been offered for the meaning of this statement. In other words, it's not saying the Tana'im, Hillel and Shammai, will endure through their teachings. Sadiqim, Abba, Mishas, and Akraim, Chayim. It's not saying that their teachings will. It says the Machlokas will endure. Machlokas means quarrel or strife. Quarrel, strife, discord, argument, fighting. That's what Machlokas means. Division. So why should we say that their Machlokas will endure? You know, you want Machlokas to endure? So there are many, my pleasure. So there are many interpretations. Rabbeinu Yonah explains that those who engage in the dispute will endure. They will live long lives. So he explains the opposite. Remember, Rabbeinu Yonah is the one who said, when you have a machlokas that's not for the sake of heaven, you will not endure, i.e. they will not live long lives. What's the proof? Look what happened to Korach and the suckling babes even. On the other hand, he says, it will endure means that the disputants who are arguing for the sake of heaven will endure. They will live long lives, which will make it possible for them to engage in other disputes for the sake of heaven. Mamash Rabbi Yisrael Meir writes that. Another view sees this phrase as referring to the give and take of vigorous Torah discussion. Give and take of vigorous Torah discussion, we call that the Mechamta Shel Torah. You walk into a base medrash, it looks like, you know, they might be screaming at each other, but if they're learning a piece of Gemara, and this one says this way, and this one says that way, they're not screaming at the other person, they're debating the position of the other person, and each one feels that my position is correct, or the position of this one is correct. That's Hashem Shemayim. This is the vigorous Torah discussion, the give and take, what we call the battle of Torah, the Mechamta Shel Torah. Torah endures in a person whose words can withstand rigorous analysis and criticism. Torah endures in a person whose words can withstand rigorous analysis and criticism. There's another aspect to this phrase, which is such dispute will last even after the disputants have passed on, because other will learn their words. That's 100% true of Hillel and Shammai. When we learn, I just quoted it last Thursday morning, maybe some of you heard online, I don't know. When we've come from Ksubos, Yud Zayin, Amabesh, when we say Ketz and Meraktim of Ne'akala, how do you dance before the bride? We quote what Beit Shammai says, and we quote what Beit Hillel says. When we quote Shabbos Chaf Aleph, I think. When we Chaf Aleph, I think it's Amar Aleph. When we quote about Ner Chanukah, we quote what Beis Hillel says, 1-8. We quote what Beis Shammai says, 8-1. And then we give a Psak Halacha. But we quote both opinions as to which one says which. So that means their argument will endure, i.e. both sides have validity. Both lessons comes to teach us something. Erevin 13b, which I'm going to quote momentarily. If someone is sitting in the sukkah, but his table is mostly inside or outside, his body is mostly inside or outside, is it kosher? Is he fulfilling mitzvah sukkah, or is he not fulfilling mitzvah sukkah? So they each have their own opinion. So the question is, if it's l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven, do both sides endure? That means 2,000 years later, we're still discussing what Beis Shammai says and what Beis Hillel says. But as a machlokas that is not for the sake of heaven, the argument itself has no enduring validity. A perfect example of that is Korach's argument. It has no enduring validity. He told Moshe, you made this all up by yourself. Tzitzis, you made it up by yourself. Mezuzah, you made it up by yourself. Look at the Gemara Masechah Sanhedrin, Kof Yod, Amen Aleph. Truma, Meiser, Rishon, with the Levi take Meiser, the coin, you made it all up by yourself. His arguments have no validity. When you learn about tzitzis, you don't say the Torah says one way and Korach says another way. When you learn about Truma, Sanhedrin Kofiot, again, that's where Korach argues against his wife, really instigates him to make fun of the Truma, the gifts that go to the coin. We don't say when it comes to the Truma, this person says like this and Korach says like this. No, Korach's arguments have no validity because he was totally not l'shem shemaim. His machokas was not for the sake of heaven. His machokas was for the sake of his anochi, his own ego. When a person cannot pass their ego, there is a lav de oraisa, perik yedzayin pasakei, velo yeku korach v'ka'adoso kasher diber Hashem b'yad Moshe. And some commentators count this as an isra de oraisa. You shall not be like Korach and his assembly, like God spoke in the hand of Moshe. What does that mean? You should not become embroiled in machlokas. Because if you become, never mind, lead the machlokas or jump on the bandwagon of machlokas, you are becoming like Korach. It's a look, open up the Chumash. Velo yihya, what does that mean? You, thou shalt not be. Thou shalt not do adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet everything your friend has. Thou shalt not be like Korach and his assembly. Like God spoke in the hands of Moshe. We should be running away, the Rambam says to his son from Echokos, not running towards it. Okay. Now Rabbi Yehuda quotes the Gemara Masechas Erevin. I'm going to tell you such an interesting idea, perspective, mashal, that I just heard today. So I haven't told it over anywhere because it was just shared with me this afternoon. Our sages teach us that for 3 years, the academies of Shammai and Hillel disagreed. Okay, It's I don't know if it's famous, but I was going to say it's a famous Gemara. I'm not sure if it's famous. It's Maseches Erevin 13b. The Gemara says in Erevin Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Shlosha Shanim V'chatzin Nechleka Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. For 3.5 years, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai had an argument. Halalu Amrim Halacha Kemoseinu. The Halalu Amrim Halacha Kemoseinu. This one says, we're right. And this one says, we're right. Finally, after 3 years in heaven, they say, we can't listen to this anymore. That's not exactly what the Gemara says. Ad sheyatzatza bas kol v'amra, the heavenly voice proclaimed forth, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim him, v'alacha ke Beis Hillel. Erevin 13b. You're both right, but the halacha is like Beis Hillel. That's not really what it means. Elu ve'elu, these ones and these ones are the words of the living God, but Beis Shammai is right. Oh, what did I just say? Well, we paskin like Beis Hillel. The halacha is like Beis Hillel. So the Gemara asks, v'chisha achar, v'lefisha achar, elu v'el divrei Elokim chayim heim, if they're both right. And these are the words of the living God. And these are the words of the living God, says the Gemara, lama zacha Beis Hillel, shenik b'halacha kamosam. Why is Beis Hillel worthy that the halacha should be established like them? What happened? What happened? There was an argument for 3.5 years that between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai that was for the sake of heaven. Because the Mishnah tells us their machlokas, their discussions, their disagreements were always for the sake of heaven. This one said, I'm right. This one said, I'm right. Finally, in heaven, they said, let's go paskin the halacha. We're going to say how it is. But before they said halacha ka Beis Hillel, the heavenly voice proclaimed, these and these are the words of the living God. I.e. Beis Hillel is right. Beis Shammai is right. However, the law follows Beis Hillel. So then the Gemara says, that's very nice. But if these ones are right and these ones are right, then why did Beis Hillel, why were they meritorious that the heavenly voice said the halacha is like them? And you know what the Gemara says there? And it ties in exactly to what we're learning. Lafisha no chalin ve'aluvin. They were foregoing. They were patient. What's another word? Forbearing. Maybe foregoing is the wrong word. Forbearing and patient. They were quiet. They let it go. They were able to begin. And the Gemara says, not only that, but when they learned, the Gemara says, v'hayu shonim divrei v'divrei Beis Shammai. When Beis Hillel learned, they didn't only learn what their opinion is, they also learned the opinion of Beis Shammai. That gives it validity, especially because they didn't agree with the opinion of Beis Shammai. But they still said, let's take out the Sefer and let's see what Beis Shammai, zuk Beis Shammai, and they would explain the opinion of Beis Shammai. Then they would say, okay, we don't hold like this, but they gave credence and they gave respect to Beis Shammai. Furthermore, the Gemara says, not only that, makdimin divrei Beis Shammai ledivreihem. When they would learn, they would give precedence. They would first study the words of Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says, because they were nochalin va'aluvin, and they learned the words of Beis Shammai, not only is that not slaughtering your ego? Is that not making room for somebody else? Is that not like what Avigdor Miller says, not answering back, swallowing your pride, making way for someone else, shechting your ego that's always trying to trigger? They didn't have to be right. Because they didn't have to be right, Basco said, you're right. So I want to tell you something very interesting that I just, someone shared this with me today. Okay? This is very, very interesting. I have to say B'Shem Amro. So I went to see, I don't know what to call it. It's not a friend of ours. I'm not sure what to call it. An older gentleman, he should live and be well. I don't want to say friend. It's not respectful. I'm not sure what to call it. Anyway, he lives a few houses over with his daughter. His name is Mr. Tumim. We know from Shah, and he is recovering from a medical incident, so I went to see him today. And when I go to see him, we enjoy discussing Divrei Torah. Well, whenever we'd see each other in Shah, we would always share Divrei Torah, always. So the reason I'm telling you this is because I have to say B'Shem Amar, obviously. So he told me such an interesting perspective. We are talking about having different perspectives. Are there different perspectives on things? We started talking about Korach. Okay. So he said, gave me such a great mashal. This is from Mr. Arnold Tumim. It's so interesting. He said, if anybody knows Mrs. Bluma Drabin, she is a principal at SKA. It's her father. Okay. He said, the mashal he uses to explain how could there be different perspectives, and they're both MS, which I'm tied, he didn't bring up Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but I think it explains this Gemara and Erevin beautifully. I told him that. I said, Mr. Tum, it explains what it means. How could you be right and you be right? There's only one halacha. So how could, which one is right? Do we light candles from 8 to 1 on Hanukkah? Or do we light candles from 1 to 8? Well, which one is it? It's only one. There's only one. What does Hanukkah stand for? Ches Neiros V'Halacha K'Beis Hillel. So we only light going from one candle up to 8. So what do you mean, Elu V'Elu? Ketzim Meraklim Lufnei Akala. Kala Kamoshi or Kala Nava Chasuda? Which one is it? It can't be both. Do you say it like it is, or do you say she's very beautiful no matter what it is? Well, it's only one, so which one is it? So how could it be Eilu Veil Duveil Kim Chaim Heim? What does it mean that a Machokas L'Shem Shemayim, both sides have validity, both sides have worth? This is such an interesting Masha. I told him it's a great Masha, I'm going to tell it over. I didn't know when I was going to tell it over, but here I was. This is what happened. I told him this afternoon, Mamash this afternoon, that I think that this Masha explains Eilu Veil Duveil Kim Chaim Heim. And here, Rabbi Lau quotes that exact Gemara. So I even wrote in my take notes and on my sefer says, Mr. Tumim, if in blue pen, each has a different perspective, mashal table. So I'm going to give you, that's my notes. That's what it says in blue pen. So this is what Mr. Tumim said. Take the example of a table that has four legs. Good table, four legs. If you're looking at the bird's eye view of the table, all you see is a tabletop, correct? Yes. Don't tell me the legs are sticking out. They're carved. A table with four legs. If you're looking at a bird's eye view, you only see the tabletop. If you stand on the front, in the front of the table, the short end, you have a different perspective. If you stand on the side of the table, the not square, let's say it's rectangular, the long end, you have a different perspective. And I said to him, if you stand under the table and look up, you have a different perspective. Well, which perspective is right? Who's seeing the table? Hello? The people I could see? They're all right. They're all right. Which perspective is right and which perspective is wrong? None of them are wrong. Oh, but they all see four different things. There's one object and they're all seeing four different things. How could it be? It's what a gewaldic mashal. What a gewaldic mashal. How could, because I said two different perspectives, he said sometimes there could be more than two different perspectives. How could it be that there's one issue with four different perspectives? How could that be? So think of a table. If you're looking at the bird's eye view, you're looking at it from the top, you see a tabletop. That's all you see. You don't see the legs. You don't see the underneath. You don't see the screws. You don't see the clamps. You see the top. That's it. If you're looking at it from the bottom, underneath, you're going to see a very different picture than what you saw from the top. If you're looking at it from the short side, the head of the table, you're going to see a third picture. And if you're looking at it from the long side of the table, like where I'm sitting right now, you're going to see a different picture. So what does that prove? It's four different perspectives for the exact same issue. Four people are looking at one thing. It's only one thing. Why not? It's the same table. What a gewaldic mashal. So what does that mean for our learning? How am I going to apply that to our learning? It means when it comes to Ben Adam and Chaveru, we have to realize that there are different perspectives. Again, I said I'm not going to repeat it. Unless you're talking about something mamish dangerous, but could also be spiritually dangerous. If someone comes and says to you, do not keep Shabbos, I'm not talking about pikuach nefesh, I'm not talking about a chola, I'm not talking about that. Don't keep Shabbos. Tonight, instead of going to the Shabbos table, we're going to get in the car, we're going to hire an Uber, we're going to go to the movies, we're going to eat not kosher popcorn, we're going to watch who knows what on the screen, that will be our Shabbos. Okay, so that's not a kosher perspective. Why? Because Mr. Tum, I went on and I said to him, so that means there are different perspectives as long as everyone's looking at the Torah. Remember, we were talking about Korach. Korach's perspective was not a valid perspective because it wasn't based in Torah. It was based in Kofus. It was based in the ego. It was based on what I need, I want, I think, I feel, I demand, literally. I want to be in charge. I feel I was skipped over. I demand more attention. I want a better position in the cloud. Korach's perspective is not a valid perspective. Why not? It was purely a mechoka she'enu l'shem shamayim because it wasn't steeped in Torah. But both Hillel and Shammai, who were steeped in the Dalet Amos of Torah, so Hillel says, you start with one candle and you go up to eight. Ma'alin b'kodesh ve'enu maridin. And Beis Shammai says, no, you start with eight and you go down to one. But both are Torah perspectives. And therefore, since they're both rooted in Torah, you can have more than two perspectives. You could have four perspectives. And this helps understand this well, or explain, I should say, why two people could ask a shayla and get totally different answers, maybe even from the same Rav. And you thought the shayla was the exact same, but the Rav is a different perspective because maybe he knows details about your family and details about that family. And even though it looks like the shayla is the same, the shayla is really different. Because across the board, pun intended with the table, there are different perspectives. And perhaps that's why I said to Mr. Tumim, the Gemara can say, Eilu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. One has to be right. Which one is right? If one is right, the other's not right. No. And if you're all looking at Torah, then different perspectives are correct. You're all looking at the same table. How could it be the one who's standing on the short end by the head of the table and the one looking from the bottom of the table, you lay down on the floor and you look up. Why would you want to do that? I don't know. You want to demonstrate this muscle in real time? Fine. It's going to look totally different. The bottom of the table looks completely different than the one who stands at that and sees two legs right in front of him and a little bit of the tabletop. They're both seeing the same item. How could it look so different? What's your perspective? And as long as your perspective is you're focusing on the table, oh, I'm going to make this even better. I didn't even think of this when I was talking to Mr. Tumim. It's from Mishlei, Perek Demo, or Perek Dalet. Eitz Chaim hi. Ah, I just thought of it. It's Gevaldik. It actually fits in perfectly. Because a table, let's say we're talking about a wood table. Okay, I know there's different kinds, but traditionally we're talking about a wood table. Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim ba, v'shamchem u'shar. It is a tree of life for all who hold fast to her. Those who grab onto her are fortunate. As long as you're holding onto the table, Eitz HaChayim B'soch HaGan, if you're holding onto, there's so much about Eitz that relates to Torah. What did Moshe do in Mara, right after Yam Suf? Perek Tezvav, Pasuch of David, B'Shalach. He threw a stick, an eitz, into the water. Vayimtiku amayim. Sham sam lechokum mishpah v'sham nisau. Moshe threw a tree, i.e. he gave him some Torah, and everything was sweet. As long as you're holding onto Torah, as long as you're holding onto the table, from some place, whether it's the top, or the bottom, or the front legs, or the side legs, you're entitled to have a different perspective. How do we paskan halacha? That's a different story. So the base, the baskol says, the halacha is taka kebeis hilah. Okay, fine. Balamaisa, everyone has credibility. Why does everyone have credibility? Because you're all holding onto the same table. What's the table? The Eitz Chaim, Hila Mechazikaba, it's the table of Torah. And I thought it was a brilliant mashal for understanding how people could have such different perspectives. And it has so much applicability in Bein Adam Chaveru. Your perspective is not the only perspective. There is another perspective. Now, it's very hard to see someone else's viewpoint because we like to think we're absolutely right. But Chazal also tells us in Perek Aleph, "Al tadin es chachavercha ad shetagilim kama." Their perspective comes from the place that they're in, their upbringing, their family, their nisyonos. As long as it's a Torah perspective, it has to be correct. Again, Torah perspective, guided by their rabbanim, steeped in learning, okay? And then it's a mechoka shi'ilah shem shemayim, and it's so far this came because both sides are right. How could both sides be right? Well, who's right when they look at the top of the table? Who's right when they look at the table? The guy from the top who says I'm looking at the table, or the guy from the bottom who says I'm looking at the table? Who's right? Eilu ve'eilu devrei Elokim chayimim. You're both right. Now the halacha is paskened one way, but you're both right. It's so funny because Mamash Mr. Tuvim told me this afternoon. I really thought it was a brilliant mashal. He says he's used it many times to explain. He's like on Meir Esam Shana, I would say at least 4 decades older than me, Barach. So he should live and be well on Meir Esam Shana. And he said he's used it many times. I said, is this yours or someone else's? And he says he used it many times to explain how there could be different perspectives. What a gevaldik insight. Now listen to Rav Yisrael Meir Lau quotes. I couldn't have orchestrated this better than my visit this afternoon to Mr. Tumim and what Yisrael Meir Lau quotes, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau quotes on this Mishnah, Shlita. Our sages teach that for 3 years, the academies of Shammai and Hillel disagreed until a voice from heaven proclaimed, these and these are the words of living God, and the halacha is in accordance with the academy of Hillel. I quoted the Gemara for you already. But is this statement not self-contradictory, says Rav Lau? If both viewpoints are the word of God, how could the halacha follow one and reject the other? Ready for what Yisrael Meir, Rav, why do I keep saying that? I don't know. Ready for what Rav Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita says? That's a mashal he told me today. Listen to this. And I told him when he was speaking to me that this helps us explain the Gemara in Erevin 13b. I told him that. Eilu ve'el devel kim chaymer. Listen to what Rav Yisrael Meir Lau says. The answer is the Torah contains room for many points of view. I promise. If you have the Sefer at home, it's a 3-volume set on Pirkei Avos. It's volume 3, page 855. I'm not making this up. The answer is that the Torah contains room for many points of view. Is that not what the mashal is? There are 70 Shivim Panim Torah. How could there be Shivim Panim Torah? How could there be 70 viewpoints? What's right? Which one is it? The fact that the halacha is decided in one way does not delegitimize the opposing view. The fact that you feel strongly about something does not deny that the other person has a different perspective and feels strongly about something else. You're both right. Now, We paskin halacha a different way, but it doesn't mean that one is right and one is wrong. I'm going to say something that I hope is not misunderstood. I'm using it for illustrative purposes. When we talk about sin is chinam, and say chazuma tas amad beis, beinam etzarim is almost upon us, Tammuz destroyed the base of Mikdash, Mikdash sheni b'pnei ma'achrav, shayu oskim b'torah, mitzvah z'gvilas chasadim, b'pnei ma'achrav, b'pnei shayisa bo sin is chinam, lamdecha shushkula sin is chinam k'neged shalash aveirus. Who's a better Jew in the eyes of God? The one who wears a tini kippah shuga and jeans, a tight knit t-shirt, sandals. Is he a better Jew in the eyes of God? Or maybe a chassid from a chassidic neighborhood is a better Jew in the eyes of God. Who wears, I don't know exactly what they wear, a shtreimel on Shabbos, and a bekasha, and a gartel, and a chassidish levush, who is Hashem love more. Or maybe it's the hilltop youth with their big round kippah sugot, and their khaki pants, and their big curly payas, and their tzitzit out. Maybe God loves them more. Or maybe it's the yeshivish with their certain style of black hat, and white shirt, and black pants, and black jacket. Wait, maybe it's the modern Orthodox. What about the modern Orthodox? Maybe God loves them more. It's for us to say. Is it for us to say? Everyone's looking at the same table. We have Hesder Yeshivo. We have Chassidish Chadarim. We have Yeshivish Beis Midrashos. We have modern Orthodox day schools. We have co-ed modern Orthodox day schools. We have separate Beis Yaakovs and yeshivos. That's better to Hashem. Wait a minute, everyone's learning Torah. And one side says, I have to be right. It's only my right. I'm definitely right because I'm looking at the top of the table and I only see the top of the table, so I'm for sure right. And the other says, what are you seeing? Well, how could you see that? I'm looking at the bottom of the table. And one side says, no one said should go to work. No one should go to work. We should only learn. And the other side says, everyone should go to work. And it should be kovei to matar. And one side says, to serve in the army. And the other side says, don't serve in the army. And one says, live in the city in Tel Aviv. And the other one says, no, build up the Sherman. Who's a better Jew to God? Should we know? Are we God? If I knew him, I would be him. So I'm going to go to the Yatit Sabas called the Amra Elu ve Elu. Divrei Elokim Chaim Hi. Why don't we focus more on Binyan? Let's build the table together. So some people will put up the legs at the head of the table. They have a different perspective. And they need different tools. Maybe they need a screwdriver to put the screws into the head of the table. And some people will be sanding the tabletop. So they need a sander. And they need a hammer. And they need a saw to cut the wood. And some people will be setting up the chairs on the horizontal side, so they need to get a lot of chairs, so they have different tools. And some people are taka, laying down on the floor to screw the legs into the tabletop. And everyone sees a different perspective. Which one's better? They're all better. Because if you don't have one of them, you're not going to have a table. You need someone to screw in the screws, and someone to manufacture the wood, and someone to cut the wood, and someone to sand the wood, and someone to shine the wood, and you need someone to put the legs into the table on the other side, someone to put up the chairs. Who's better? They're all better. They're all working together to build the table. So you want a table or you don't want a table? You don't want a table, so no problem. So then you'll have 100 pieces on the floor, gewaldig. And then you'll be in Gaulis 2,000 years later. Very nice. Because you can't figure out how to work together to put the table together. Very nice. Good. So there's no table. And we can't sit down and we can't say, Hini matov manayim shevas achim gav yachad. Yatzitz Abbas kol v'amra elu ve'elu tivrei Elokim chaim hi. It's true. We paskin halacha like one and not the other. It's true. As long as you're holding onto the table, which is Torah, it's chaim in machazikim ba. Who says what's right? I don't know. How do I know what's a better levush to God? Do I know if he likes white and black better than khaki and hunter and army green? Do I know? Do I look like God? You know what's in his chart up in Shemayim? I don't know. You don't know. And don't believe anyone who tells you they do know, as long as everyone's holding on to the Torah. I'm not talking about the maskilim. I'm not talking about those who want to uproot Torah. I'm not talking about kofrim. People, I'm not talking about Tiduk Shenishpa either, by the way. They're not kofrim. Someone who's educated and denies the omnipotency of God, that's what we're talking about. How do I know it's better? And it's a machlokas shehi l'shem shamayim, machlokas l'chalik, when every division has a viewpoint that's for the sake of heaven. Maybe the Mishnah means as follows. Kol machlokas shehi l'shem shamayim. When Kal Yisrael recognizes that the different divisions of Jews are all holding on to the same table, so they're all l'shem shamayim, sofa l'hiskayim. Klal Yisrael will endure. At the end, will endure. Is there ain't l'shem shamayim? But when we're quarreling, not for the truth of Torah, but just for the point of fighting, for denigrating somebody else, for insulting a different way of life, and being intolerant and unaccepting of others, when it's ain't l'shem shamayim, ain sofa l'hiskayim. Klal Yisrael, the Jewish Commonwealth, independence. I don't mean like modern day independence, which is a very big bracha, and everyone knows how I feel about Eretz Yisrael, I think the Medina, but I mean the eternal, everlasting independence. Ein sof al hiskayim. It can't endure. It will not endure. History has proven it will not endure. As long as everyone's holding on to the table and working together to build the table, no matter what your perspective is, our nation, our land, our people, our kehila will have endurance. Torah Tzivilanu Moshe Marasha Kehilas Yaakov. I could tell you Gevaldik Medrash, which we don't have time for, about how the Marasha Kehilas Yaakov is that Torah is for every Jew, not only certain categories. And so Victor Miller says, always in your dealings with your family, with your wife, your neighbors, in your dealings in the business world, with your community, in the base Knesset, be aware of a Kodesh Baruch Hu and humble to people. This man is one who's constantly bringing karbanos. He's considered as if he brought all the karbanos because the offering of humility is always available to bring. Our biggest opportunity in life is our dealings with human beings. That's our success in this world. If we can get along with people by means of sacrificing our false personality, that's telling us our anochi is what matters, that's who we become successful over the Hashem. That's the greatest opportunity to succeed, to create a permanent honor. So follow his kayim, permanent honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in both Olam Hazah and Olam Haba. As we move forward into this month of Tammuz, full steam ahead. Rishu Vasar B'Tammuz looming ahead, just a couple of weeks. We do well to remember the muscle of the table. There are different perspectives. It depends where you're standing, it depends on your life, it depends on your upbringing, it depends which part of the table you're building, it depends where your tafkid, where your talents, abilities, and capabilities are. Not everyone can stand the top. Some people will just put out the chairs. Not everyone can screw in the legs. Some people will set the table. Where are you standing? What is your perspective? But be humble enough to recognize that there's somebody else working on a different part of the table. As long as we're all working on the same table. Who could say what's more precious? Well, if we're not working together, there's not going to be a table. So maybe the answer is that it's equally precious before the Ribbono Shel Olam. We should leave the Dayanus up to him. And we should work more on cultivating humility. Ahavas Chinam Ben Adam Mechaveiro. Because in that way, it will be a mechokes, the chalik, divisions of different kinds of Jews, all working l'shem shamayim, sofa l'hiskayim. And then our people will always, halavai, endure. Shir should be a hilga aliyah neshama from Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah ha-shalom. We will continue next week. Besuras tovos, thank you so much to everybody. Kol tov, and thank you to all.